Jackson Polk, and historian Melissa Sargent. We're live online at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We're going to do what we do every time on the second hour. Usually, today's no exception. Why not? El Paso History Show, where it's going to do the history moment with Melissa Sargent producing it, and she's voicing it, and she made this for the El Paso History Alliance. And her history moment today explains how the California Gold Rush changed El Paso.
There's gold in them thar hills. January 24, 1848, gold is discovered at Sutter's Mill in California, and the rush is on. People with gold fever from around the world head to California's mother lode and have to pass right through El Paso on their way. El Paso, known as Franklin then, was the midpoint and the southernmost snow-free route through the Rocky Mountains and offered gold seekers year-round passage to California. They came first in a few pack trains, then a large wave of gold seekers. Franklin was just a sleepy border town, and supplies were low initially. And at times, the town was overrun with as many as 4,000 travelers in 1,500 wagons perched at the edge of the Rio Grande. But some very savvy business people saw a bonanza could be made right here from the gold seekers. Businesses started to spring up in Franklin, and the following year, Fort Bliss was established. There was no turning back, and soon Franklin grew into El Paso. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
.com, and we got there right away.
Yeah, that's right.
.com, and whatever. Well, that was really cool, though. The gold rush did change El Paso.
Oh, it did. It was the first beginning of our kind of shift from a sleepy little adobe village into a big city.
Well, think about where they were coming from previously to getting to El Paso, coming from over in the east to the west. By the time they got to El Paso, they had some water and a place to sleep and something to eat. Like, whoa, we're civilization. Can you imagine sleepy old adobe El Paso being called civilization?
Oh, my God.
By these people, anyway.
Yeah.
Well, and they would park over there by Frontera.
Yeah, waiting to cross the river till it would get down low enough they could take their wagon trains across.
Can you imagine? There must be some artifacts out there.
Roughly where they were when this was written, that was written by a young girl. She was about 12, 13 years old from what Bernie did his research on, that she was writing in a diary about waiting to cross that river with all these wagons just sitting there. And that was right about Donovan and Sunland Park Drive.
Oh,
so waiting to go to the racetrack.
Yeah, they've been lining up for that for centuries.
For a long, long time.
But that you're doing this for the
History Alliance.
The Facebook crowd. They got a lot of people on there.
Oh, my God, probably 50,000 plus now. And, this is a great event, great group to get involved with. They do some wonderful things. And if you want to get involved or learn, you have some history you want to share with us or get involved with the organization, call Bernie Sargent at 915-581-7920. And we've also got to mention people like Barbara Given Maney, who does some great work over there at the Remember in El Paso Win Facebook page.
And if you copy their photographs off their page, just give them credit for that.
Yeah, and she's got another group of people that help her over there.
Another one, Jim Carlton. They got a whole crowd there. They could use some more people, so get a hold of her on that Facebook page, which is an odd name, but it works well. Remember in El Paso Win. That's what I got for you there. And now what we got for you here is that Dr. Dude, Eric Kappas. I knew him when he was a walking around barefoot guy in the middle of the desert.
Just a young man.
Well, he was a punk at the time. Now he's a Dr. Punk. So Mr.
Right.
Dr. Punk to you. So welcome back here, dude.
He's still younger than us.
He's official.
He's taking
official
notes on this conversation.
He's an official Dr. Punk? Is that what
And he's going to come after us at some point. But you can make it to Pepe's today, you think?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Come meet the doctor.
All right, do Ice Age here, because I was just telling you before we got into this segment, a guy was telling me once upon a time that a lot of the big ice that was coming down through New Mexico heading toward El Paso got stuck and stopped on the other side of Sierra Blanca, north side. Is that true?
So this is Kevin Von Finger.
Yeah, back
so
yeah.
Kevin was an expert on the ice age in the region.
That's you what
know,
he told me.
He was into the middens, the old pack rat stash piles. They call them middens, M-I-D-D-E-N-S.
Right.
And he ruined the ice age for me, actually.
Because, why?
Well, I thought El Paso was covered in ice, you know, what you see in the movies. And he laughed. He had a good laugh at me for that. And I think he muttered paleontologist under his breath. But then he told me all about how El Paso was really just sagebrush. And so as you drive north into New Mexico, eventually you start seeing sage instead of creosote. That's really what El Paso was like during the ice age. The nearest glacier, the nearest permanent ice was up on Sierra Blanca, or is it Apache Peak in Ruidoso?
The same one in the same mountain, I think.
And that was the nearest glacial ice. But otherwise, it was just very similar to what it is today, just scrub brush everywhere.
The ice age didn't quite get here, but it got as far as
all those giant mammals got here. And I think that's what I was talking about before.
Yes, the ice age in El Paso had
and I think I was about to mention giant armadillos.
No, we didn't talk about that.
So we had a one-ton armadillo here called glyptodons.
Really?
Yeah, and you can find their fossils on the West Mesa out you know, west of Sunland Park, I guess.
Really?
I found the plates from their armor.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. But they've also found, when I was researching it, they found bones of these giant armadillos. They're called glyptodons. They found bones with butcher marks. And you know what a butcher is, right? So people were eating giant armadillos
here in our region during the ice age.
It's
good with yogurt.
They still eat them
giant
today,
armadillo steak, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Put some kale with it.
So in my research on this, you know, most of the ice age fossils in the region are teeth. But they have found some. There are some places, like we mentioned, Aden Crater, right? With that was a nearly complete Shasta ground sloth, and the sloth fell like 110 feet down this lava tube, and then died almost immediately because her last meal was still in her belly.
It was a charcoaler.
Yeah.
No.
It was Rudy's Barbecue. That's on the west side. But then. The sloth was covered in bat feces, so the bats, I guess, didn't mind, you know, using the restroom right on top of the sloth.
Let's dump on the sloth today.
And
I did that yesterday.
That preserved it spectacularly. The best preserved giant ground sloth in the world was here
now,
at Aden Crater.
How did these guys out of Pennsylvania figure out to come over and dig that thing up?
I think they were just exploring, and they went down the lava tube. They brought all their gear. They went on an exploring trip, and they went down the lava tube, and that's when they found the fossils.
150 feet down a lava tube.
110, yeah.
Okay, give or take.
Yeah.
But the fact is, a lava tube, explain, what is a lava tube?
So that's where the lava came out, right? That's the hole, and the lava kind of cools as it flows through the earth. It cools and makes its own walls and makes a tube. If you go to Hawaii, you know, you can take tours and walk through the lava tubes where the lava used to flow.
That's active over there. You better walk pretty fast.
Yeah, that's quite young.
Be walking fast over there, dude. But also, where's this sloth now? It's in Pennsylvania?
I'm not sure where
I think it was
is.
The Peabody Museum.
Was it?
That these guys were part of.
They may have come down, collected it. But there are several of these caves in the region. And we were just talking about this, but there's the La Cueva Cave.
Where's that?
Up Dripping Springs. In Las Cruces, you can go to Dripping Springs, which is part of the new national monument, I guess.
Okay.
And
what about Aztec Cave on the Franklins? Is that anything?
I'm not sure if they dug anything archaeological out of Aztec Cave, but that undoubtedly people would stay in there. It's such a big cave, but it's far enough from the river that it's not an ideal place to live.
No.
It might have been a sacred site, maybe. Some place to visit or, you know, go camping for the weekend.
Well, are there any natural caves on the Franklins like that one that we need to know
well,
about?
Well, there's Anthony Gap Cave, of course.
Ooh.
And there's a couple of other smaller caves.
I was with you when you went in that cave.
Oh, yeah. That was terrible.
I refused to go in that cave.
Well, and then remember, Jim Eyholtz went in there
a
little too deep. And
we had a camera, and he put it on his belly, and he could barely scrape through the passageways. And when he got in there, Melissa, think about this.
He couldn't figure out which tube to go out to get back up.
Yeah. No, thank you.
I had to follow his footprints. Here's tracking. Here's the
You went and got him?
Yeah, I had to follow his footprints.
I couldn't remember how that resolved.
I had to go. This is why I had to crawl into that cave is to follow his footprints to go find him.
That could have been a real bad day.
Nah, because you follow footprints. It's easy.
Well, he said it was getting hot down in there. I'm not sure what that's all about.
I think he was just getting scared.
I think it's sweating.
Well, and any time you get into an area that's inside a mountain air, it's warm, and it's going to be warm anyway.
Well, yeah, but when so you get like lower down in the ground, it goes to 56 degrees and stays there like Carlsbad Caverns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but when you, like you said, you start sweating, it starts getting warm. It was
the human factor involved. Yeah. Okay, what other places do we need to know about? We've touched on a bunch of stuff.
So there's all these caves around, you know, these ice age, these caves that filled up with ice age sediments. Am I allowed to say pendejo? Pendejo?
No, you can't say that.
Pendejo Cave. I'll just mispronounce it. Pendejo Cave.
The gringo pronunciation.
Yeah, which is east of Oro Grande. That's another famous one. Conklin's Cave, which is up east of Bishop's Cap, again up in Las Cruces. These caves filled up with sediments or with animal parts, you know, possibly predators would bring their prey there. But again, Art Harris at UTEP, they did a number of cave digs and he found the teeth of over 300 types of mammals. So mostly the teeth are what preserves in these caves, except for the ground sloth, of course. But there is one famous site. So you may have heard that when they were building El Paso High, they dug up a giant anteater. Did you ever hear about this?
No.
So, well, I heard this urban legend that when they were building El Paso High, digging into that mesa there, which is Ice Age sediment, that they found a giant tapir. So I did more digging, and it turns out there used to be a quarry just south of present-day El Paso High, two blocks south. On Virginia was Rouse's Quarry, R-O-U-S. And that quarry was on the quote-unquote edge of town until about, you know, the teens, the 19-teens when they built El Paso High.
Right,
But at that time, you know, there was maybe one house up on the on Rim Road, one house up on the Mesa. It was the edge of town. But so Rouse's Quarry is where they would get gravel and stuff. And in the early 1900s, they dug up a jaw of a tapir, which is a giant anteater, an Ice Age anteater.
So they should change their mascot over there from the tiger.
The tapirs.
Yeah.
They also dug up a mammoth tusk there. And I think a horse jawbone fragment as well from Equus from Ice Age horses that were here. But horses died off. Along with all the other Ice Age mammals, the horses died off in North America.
The Ice Age horses were small. They were like a dog.
They were a little bit smaller. So they started out, again, the oldest fossils, I think, are up near Hatch, and they start off quite small, like you said, about the size of a horse, with three toes. Mm-hmm. And then they lose all their toes except their middle digit. So horses are actually walking on their middle fingers, which is kind of funny.
There's a lot of jokes there, but we're not going to do them.
Yeah. But anyway, they got taller and their jaws got much larger.
And they went to Europe and came back with the Spaniards.
Well, they went extinct here 12,000, or they were extirpated is the right word. They died off locally.
Okay.
12,000 years ago. And then, of course, the settlers, the white man brought them back over.
Oh, what a world we have here. And El Paso is a crossroads of history. Mm-hmm. And that's an amazing thing that people need to know. We normally talk about the human history that's gone on in El Paso on this radio show because that's kind of like what we can relate to. But we're talking about the ancient history. We got better ancient history than the rest of Texas too, don't we?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, geologically speaking, if you're looking at the fossil record or something like that, we have more layers from the geologic timescale. We have more layers exposed here than I would argue anywhere else in North America.
I understand that that has attracted some geology people from the East Coast to come out here and study.
I've run into people from Tennessee, Nova Scotia. I've ran into geology classes that drove here in vans from Nova Scotia to come look at our Franklin Mountains. People travel from all over North America to come to El Paso to look at our rocks.
And if you grew up here, you don't know that. You just think, hey, we got a mountain, yeah, so what?
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, this is part of why SU hired me, is to fix this problem. Most people don't know what kind of creatures or what El Paso was like or our legacy, our geologic legacy. Most people don't know about it.
And what kind of creatures were here before city council, huh?
Exactly. Oh, this is why I have a job.
This is another reason it just amazes me. We've got all this. I had no idea. I know some of the stuff you've told me about before with some of the mammals that we had here, the Ice Age and such, but why haven't we done something like this? I would have thought years ago we would have, UTEP at least, they would have had a museum along the lines with all these animals that we had
here. Well, that's what archaeology museum is. I mean, that's why we have an archaeology museum, is because we have incredible archaeology. What we need is also, on top of that, is maybe a paleontology museum?
Well, I mean, of course, I'm going to argue for a natural history museum.
Well, natural history, why we didn't have one like that at UTEP. I'm really surprised.
I like that you bring up the archaeology museum, because really, people tend to think that that we weren't here during the Ice Age, or that we didn't interact, but up at White Sands, there's a famous track site, so a place where the fossils are all footprints, and it's about 12,000 to 14,000 years old, and there are human footprints along with all these Ice Age mammals.
Of course.
Really?
So people were in our region. If they were in White Sands, they were down here.
Oh, yeah.
People were in our region at least 12,000 to 14,000 years ago. And there's giant sloth tracks up there at White Sands as well.
Now, can we find caves on the Franklins that no one's been in yet, and we find paintings like they have in France on the cave walls, that kind of thing?
Well, so I actually, just last night, I purchased a book. There's an archaeological survey on Hit Canyon, McKelligan Canyon, and Fusselman Canyon.
Hit Canyon is an interesting canyon.
So there are archaeological sites in the Franklins, but I haven't read it yet.
Come back when you read that.
There are pictographs, or maybe they're petroglyphs, on Trans Mountain Road.
Oh, I've seen those.
On Kasner Range.
I've seen those.
I haven't, yeah.
I recorded them, and we weren't supposed to be there, so I don't talk about it. Okay. But the Hit Canyon, H-I-T-T, mm-hmm. that's the last big box canyon up at the end of the Franklins
in the northeast,
north.
Yeah. North. Job has a big quarry up there.
Well, it's an interesting canyon for a number of reasons. We got to take a break here. Dr. Eric Kappas is the man we're talking with, and he's going to go to Pepe's. Ha-ha.
Aha.
So there. But we should take a break here and come. We need to now do actual trivia.
Yes.
Are you ready for actual trivia?
Yes,
see, Shelly's in there looking for something to do.
I know.
You got to call her
busy.
Up.
Wake her up.
Stir her up. So what do you got in the way of trivia questions?
Well, I kind of changed them on you on one of them.
Sure.
So, okay, the first question is, what type of mammals, and we named several of them, so you should be able to at least name one of them. What kind of mammals did we have here in the El Paso area during the Ice Age?
Another question would be.
And the other question is, why are the Mount Crystal Ray dinosaur tracks on a vertical wall? And they weren't doing a Donald O'Connor or Fred Astaire imitation.
They weren't dancing on the ceiling.
No, they weren't dancing
on the ceiling. But they got on the wall somehow.
They got on the wall somehow.
And you can win. We got two coupons.
We got two coupons for Pepe's and Canutillo, wonderful New Mexican food. So give us a call at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
You sure?
I'm sure.
This spring at Four Rivers Equipment, we're saying no. That's right. No payments and no interest for 90 days on John Deere mini excavators, skid steers, and compact track loaders. Four Rivers Equipment has the compact construction equipment you need with no payments and no interest for 90 days. Four Rivers Equipment, your working partner. Visit fourriversequipment.com/NPNI. Offer ends 4/30/19 with approved credit by John Deere Financial. Some restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
There were smoking sections on airplanes, in restaurants, and then gradually it got to be where it wasn't anywhere. It's not part of the social norm anymore. It's not accepted. But I was at a party this summer, and there wasn't a single person smoking. Even in my own home, I had my own designated space to smoke. If I think about it, it really was like I was punishing myself. It was really a friend of mine that said, why wouldn't you just try the Juul? And I thought, okay, I'll try it. And so I went out and I bought one. The idea of going back to smoking is, I couldn't even imagine doing that. I just don't enjoy it anymore. I don't think anyone, including myself, thought that I could switch.
Carolyn made the switch October 2016. Make the switch at Juul.com. That's J-U-U-L.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. Right now, get your first month supply for free. All you pay is just $5 for your medical consultation when you go to forhims.com/supply. After that, it's just $30 for a month's supply. Sure beats paying big bucks for just one blue pill, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need an awkward in-person doctor's appointment to get the prescription. Hims has doctors online who can prescribe the medication, and a pharmacy sends it right to your door. It's affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/supply. That's forhims.com/supply for your first month for just $5. Forhims.com/supply.
Did you hear it?
Once in a lifetime moments.
Did you see that?
Wow.
Happen at our iHeartRadio Music Awards.
Crazy.
Insane.
Absolutely nuts.
You picked the winners.
I want to thank iHeart family. Thank you guys so much for this award.
You watched it live on television Thursday night. Now, experience every moment again.
Just getting started.
At iHeartRadio.com. Our 2019 iHeartRadio Music Awards.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Next week coming in here would be Dr. Bernie Sargent. He's not a doctor, but we're going to make him one.
Doctor of BS.
Well, he's got a doctor of the eye now. He's got some ideals he's got to work on. But anyway, he's back with more El Paso History A to Z, including James Wiley McGoffin. And I've always wondered if the Coyote and the Roadrunner got the name from here.
Yeah, why you like that?
Wiley. Okay, March 30th, UTEP Special Collections are coming in here. Talk about archives in El Paso. There's always been a rumbling the last 20 years. Let's make it an El Paso County archive, and everybody can access it and put your stuff in there. And I have no idea if that's going to work, but these people would. April the 6th, we're live remote broadcast, EPCC Valverde Campus.
Oh, is that on?
I'm not sure how we're going to do it, but we haven't done a remote in so long, we'll have to figure it out. I don't know where the call screener needs to be. I don't know what's going to happen. But anyway, celebrating 50 years of EPCC. And we'll do live interviews at the Valverde campus. It's a public event, and they want to draw people down there. So April 3rd, Preservation Month. We got a lot of April mapped out. It's going to be fun. What do you got?
We're going back to the McGoffin home. They have some fun things, Victorian sci-fi book clubs. And you can come on out there. They have free tea and pastries will be provided. And it's Saturday, March 16th at 2 p.m. That's the day. Oh, my gosh. Get over there today at 2 p.m. And they also have their yoga classes. And you can go to the visitmcgoffinhome.com website and check it out or give them a call at 533-5147.
Let's do that. Oh, wait. Well, I guess people stirred up on the trivia. Are you ready for trivia?
Yes, I am ready.
Okay. Going in, we got three callers. We'll see if we can make us something up for a prize or the third one if we need to. Going in order of Rob. Rob, you were on the radio. Talk to Melissa.
Hello?
Yes. How are you?
Oh, good morning. Good morning. Okay, what type of mammals did we have here in the area during the Ice Age?
Oh, you had the woolly mammoth, and you had the flat-faced bear.
Oh my gosh, you were really listening.
And
yes,
a sloth.
1-ton armadillo.
One-ton armadillo. Yeah,
that
you can't
like
forget
a song,
that.
You know, one-ton armadillo.
One-ton armadillo.
Guantanamera.
Okay, so then obviously you would like to have the Pepes, I'm sure.
That's all we got.
Yes.
Well, good job. Thank you so much for listening. If you'll just stay on the line.
Shelley will tell you how to pick up your prize.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, yes. Sure.
Where was that battle mentioned about the 9th Cavalry?
Which one? They were all over the place. Which one?
Well,
you mean Embry-O Basin. Today they're having a lecture at 2 p.m.
Okay.
at the Museum of Archaeology to explain it. It's on It's on White Sands Missile Range. And it is
Okay.
It's called Victorio's Peak. That's the name of the area.
All right.
Anyway, Victorio the Indian used to hang out there.
Right. Oh, yeah. He was a Chiricahua. Yeah.
Was he a Warm Springs Apache? He was over there somewhere. But the Buffalo people tried to grab him, and they sort of missed it.
Right.
Oh, and how they did the battle reconstruction is just amazing.
It sounded interesting. Yeah.
It really is. All right. Hold on here. Shelly will tell you I pick up your prize. All right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hold on there. We got going in order. Here is Rick. Rick, you're on the radio. What's happening?
How are you doing? Love Jackson. Love you, Melissa. Love your show. You're terrific.
Thank you.
Thank you too much. What do you got a question for this guy here, Mr. Rick?
Oh, his question here. He just said he loved the show. I was just so
you're done with him.
I love my fan.
You're
going to
give him a prize just
he
for
gets
saying
a prize
that.
Just because he said love.
Sure. Okay. What the hell?
All right. Why? Let's see. Why were the Mount Cristo Ray dinosaur tracks on the vertical wall? Why were they turned?
Say that again now?
Okay, why were the dinosaur tracks,
When they found the when Eric found the dinosaur tracks, they were on a vertical wall.
Vertical wall, yeah.
How'd they get up there if they were tracks?
Jeepers.
I got a clue for you.
It was a stumper.
Give me a clue.
Something moved.
Yeah.
Oh, the mountains moved.
Ah, I see now. Now what are you going to say? How did they get there? How did they get on the vertical? This is too hard, huh?
Well, I'm thinking of, I guess, a volcano.
Should we give it to him?
That's close enough.
That's close enough.
What happened?
Yeah.
Tell
close
him what
enough.
Happened. Was it?
It was an almost volcano.
But the crystal ray pushed up and
it was
pushed up.
It was everything except the eruption. So it bulged up. There was lava, or there was magma.
Right, the lava.
But it didn't quite erupt.
It didn't
as
break
far
through.
As we know.
But what was flat on the ground were the dinosaur tracks, mm-hmm. and when it pushed up in the middle, they came out on the exterior wall.
So you're mm-hmm. looking at the bottom of their feet.
So we're going to give it to him anyway, we think,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
he said volcano. That's close
good
enough.
Enough.
All right, but you almost didn't get there, Rick. I just got news for you.
I thank you very much.
All right, hold on. Hey, tell Shelly you won a prize and maybe she'll believe you. Hold on.
I do have one question.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
There's that Kilbourne hole. Is that a top of a volcano?
No.
Yeah, it is. It's a Mar volcano.
Oh, I thought it wasn't.
So Mar volcanoes... erupt. They look like craters. They look like meteor craters, but they erupt when rising magma hits groundwater, and the groundwater turns to steam, and it creates a huge explosion.
Oh, that's
is it like
what
a
happened.
Spout? Is it?
It's like a big steam vent. I
it
guess
blowed up
say.
Real good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I've been over there. I've seen that thing, and it's go ahead. What happened to Rick? I need Rick on. What'd you do with Rick? Rick's on three. Give me back Rick. Hello, Rick.
Okay. Yeah, what is the correct name then for Kilbourne Hole? What is that again? You said it?
Mar Volcano. M-A-A-R. Mar Volcano.
Is that a guy's name?
I think it came from Mar from sea, and because they named him, I think, in Germany.
Oh.
And some Italian geologists named him, and they always have water in them.
Okay, we're going
to
give it
to
him.
But not here.
So, what do we do with Rick? Should we give him a prize?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
Hold on, Rick. Anything else?
No, I just love you and love your guests, and you guys love you.
Bless
Thank
you, sir.
You.
Come out to Pepe's if you feel like it. Meet him out there.
I will.
All right, hold on there.
Take care, Rick.
Rick on three gets a prize, and you want me to go to Espella on two? How do you say your name, Espella?
Hi.
How do you say your name?
Estella.
Estella.
That's why I thought there was a missing T in that. You got another question for her?
Let's see.
I don't think I have any more prizes.
Let's see. Oh,
we'll make one up. I'll give her one anyway.
How about she asks us a question?
Okay, try to stump us.
You stump us.
You don't have
that?
To stump us, but if it's a good enough question and we can answer it, then we'll give you a prize. What is it? Estella, this is too hard.
Oh, no. You're asking me what's the biggest. When I thought it was the saber-tooth tiger or the, I just forgot.
Oh, you're answering the mammal question.
Well, she gave us one you didn't give us.
That's the only one.
Have you ever seen a saber-tooth from a tiger?
Yeah, I had to Google it to look at it, and it looks, wow, the tooth was like, ooh, beautiful animal, but the tooth was very, very long.
I have held one in my hands. It's a heavy thing. It's an amazing thing that this guy could go chew you up with that. And he would chew you up with that. So if I have another prize, we'll give it to you. We'll tell Shelly to give you a prize. How's that sound?
Sure, that sounds great.
Anything else on your mind this morning?
No, just we enjoy listening to your show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Estella.
Hold on there. Shelly will tell you to pick up that prize. You take a read. We'll have to make up a coupon. I'll just have to get one. Shelly, they all get coupons here. We're done with this. Don't answer any more phone calls. No, but I mean, unless you have a question. No,
for the trivia.
For the trivia, we're done here.
Be specific there.
But if you have, Eric Kappas, you've held a saber-tooth, tiger tooth, have you not?
No, I've seen them. We have one. We have one at the Centennial Museum. We have a Smilodon gracilis. We actually have the smallest saber-toothed tiger here, but still, I would run. I would scream and run and cry. There's a skull at UTEP.
If you were close enough to see that tooth, your name is lunch.
Too late.
Too late. Yeah, okay. All right, taking a break here. We're going to come back and do El Paso Inc. You ready for that?
That's right.
Got some stuff to hit the fan there. Call us if you think you need to.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSN.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Do you remember when you were three? Of course you don't. But do you remember when your kid was three? Yeah, so much fun. No more diapers. Score! Hey, it's Luke Lowenfield from the all-new Casa Kia on George Dieter. Well, guess who's three now? Casa Kia is. Yep, we're this many. And the late nights and terrible twos are behind us. And I'm quite sure none of our employees are in diapers anymore. Score! So if you have some young ones, like I do, I know safety and affordability are top priorities. So you got to look at the Casa Kia Forte for $18,985 or the Casa Kia Soul for just $16,995. Look, at Casa Kia, we have six models that start under 25 grand. That's family friendly. And speaking of family, Dad?
Boy, do I remember when you were three. Hey, I'm Clay Lowenfield. Won't tell any bad stories. This is our celebration of 50 years of CASA. So many stories and memories, from inspired to inspiring. I am proud of what my father started at Team CASA, and I am so proud of this next generation. The CASA way is our commitment to all things home. Welcome to Team CASA, and welcome home.
Here at CASA Key.
And now, the worst commercial ever.
As a real-life caterer, my recipe for success is a heaping helping of commercial auto and business insurance through Progressive. They helped whip up a customized insurance solution that keeps my business cooking.
That barrage of bad wordplay was most unpleasant. Whereas commercial auto and business insurance through Progressive is anything but. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com to quote today. Insurance provided in service by Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. It's affiliated in third-party insurers.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare contracts, and in the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sound crazy? The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare contract, you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. 800-885-2929. That's 800-885-2929. 800-885-2929.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
We are at that portion of our program where we tell you what's going on this week only in El Paso, Inc.
When immigrants need medical care, they step into the clinic. A small hotel, motel bathroom. Meet the doctor volunteers who are helping sick immigrants in El Paso.
Also in the ink, plans revealed for the former Kmart on Sunland Park Drive and a vacant building in downtown.
Why one Borderland trainer is hoping for deja vu at this year's Sunland Derby.
Deja vu all over again in El Paso Ink. It's El Paso's only weekly business and lifestyle journal.
To read El Paso Ink and to order your subscription, go online to elpasoinc.com.
Beto O'Rourke is the man of the hour across the country and on ABC 7 Extra. Can his message resonate in a crowded field? Will he be able to avoid the pitfalls that have brought down far more experienced candidates?
Host Saul Sines will be discussing O'Rourke's run for presidency with UTEP Communications Professor Richard Pineda Sunday night at 10:35 p.m.
We got Eric Kappas in here, and you want to continue talking about Ice Age stuff?
Mm-hmm.
We got a caller here. Should we go to caller and see what happens there?
We can take a call, yeah.
We can take a call, not just any caller. You're a prince of a guy. Good morning, sir.
Hi there.
What's up, dog?
I really enjoy your speaker there. He is really outstanding, and I'm sorry I just recently tuned in.
Thank you.
I like to hear him every time he talks, and I had a question for you to stump him, and then I also have an announcement to make.
Okay.
So the question is that at the Aden Crater, what was the mammal that was discovered in the fumarole?
In the what?
So he's talking about the lava tube. He's talking about the lava tube.
We explained that in great detail about a half an hour ago.
But I could act stumped. So are you talking about the Shasta ground sloth, or do you know something that I don't know?
That's the one. That's the answer, yeah.
Try again.
Let me ask Prince one. What museum is that thing in now?
That's a good question. I think it's the Natural History Museum in L.A., but I'm not sure.
I think he went to Pennsylvania.
I have no idea.
Also, Chicago, possibly.
Sure. It doesn't matter right now, does it? We don't.
It's on display, though, because I believe it was the most complete Shasta ground sloth ever anywhere.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, what's your announcement, senor? Did that sloth come in on a train? No.
No, I wanted to let all of your listeners know, if you haven't already discussed it, that they were at the Archaeology Museum this afternoon, 2 p.m.
We did.
Gary Vayara is still scheduled to be putting on his lecture on the battlefield of Embrio Basin, the Victorio battle.
We did in that announcement about 10 minutes ago, Prince, and it's a detailed battle that they get to look at because of the metal detection. Yeah, we covered that. We did.
Right. And I just wanted to let people know Trans Mountain may still be closed by the time you go over there, so you might need to go around. But the museum, we do have access to the museum.
Yes,
closed above that.
Right. They're just smart enough to do it that way. All right. Well, that's a cool lecture if you're going. Thanks a lot, Prince.
Great. Thank you.
All right. You take her easy. And we did cover that, but it's worth mentioning again. What the heck? It's a good battle.
Well, and also I was kind of starting to talk about the Ice Age track site at White Sands.
Another reason to have a movie right there.
Oh, yeah. And the star of the show, though, right now up at this White Sands. So there's I believe it's the biggest Ice Age track site in North America is at White Sands.
Really?
And so it's the biggest location with fossil footprints of anywhere in North America.
Is it out flat on the desert?
I think it's on the edge of Lake Lucero.
Really?
But it's quite far, and I don't believe you're allowed to just hike there. I think you need permission.
Same with the Victoria Battle. You can't get there either.
But it's over 100,000 Ice Age footprints. So it is just a ton. And you can't see them all the time. The moisture conditions in the sediment need to be right for you to even be able to see the footprints at all.
Really?
But my buddy Spencer Lucas has been studying them for about 15, 20 years now. And originally they thought they were older, like most stuff in the region, but the track site's about 12 to 14,000 years old.
Oh, you mentioned there were some footprints.
Well,
of
so
humans.
There's human footprints there, along with the American lion, the dire wolf, the giant camel I mentioned, Gigantocamelus. In fact, the camel tracks were so big, they originally thought they were mammoth tracks.
Wow.
Because the camel was so big. So just last year, they released a map of one area of this track site that had about 100 footprints of sloths and giant ground sloths and humans. And what's odd is that two of the giant sloth trackways, they end abruptly along with human footprints. And one of them has human footprints inside the sloths.
CSI so White somebody, Sands, here so we go.
Somebody was sneaking up, some caveman was sneaking up behind the giant ground sloth, which, by the way, would have weighed, 1,500 pounds or something.
Oh, my God.
So someone was sneaking up behind the giant ground sloth, and then the giant sloth trackway comes to a place where the sloth was freaking out and spinning around, and right there, another human ran up and then ran away from the sloth. Presumably terrorizing it, distracting it.
Yeah.
But the sloth trackway ends there. Oops. And there are two places like that. So they call it the giant sloth hunt.
Sloth burgers for tonight.
Good eating.
Good eating on them sloth burgers here. Right?
Yeah, so that's a famous site for those of us that study paleo.
Shelly, do I need that call? Put them on hold.
But this is not something you can get to without going on.
No, I don't even know if they take anybody out there. I think they're still studying it, and it's very delicate because you can't see the tracks. I don't know if it'll ever be open to the public. It may only be the kind of thing.
Well, let somebody study it and write a book.
Have they ever done any filming of it at all?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how much.
Well, when was this discovered? This is recent.
No, it's 20 years old. It was discovered.
But it hasn't been talked about much.
03 or 04. No, it hasn't gotten much publicity, but because it's still being studied and the tracks were quite difficult to map.
Have you ever
see.
been out on Lake Lucero?
No, I've never been there.
Melissa, have you ever been hiking around up in there?
No, I never had the opportunity to. The only time I've been I was driving across White Sands where I wasn't supposed to be, but I got escorted quickly out of that area.
Yes,
by
see.
Mistake.
Oh.
That's the only, outside of being at the museum and doing some business up there at White Sands, that's the only place I've ever been out there.
When the missile range came in, they changed an awful lot of rules all of a sudden because there was all ranchers everywhere and all the ranchers had to vacate except one or two.
Well, yeah.
And there's one still there right near the main post of White Sands Missile Range.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that guy's, the Cox Ranch is still there. But he lost all of his cattle grazing area to missile parts manufacturing or whatever.
Yes.
But his house is still there. But that's a fascinating geological place, too, isn't it? The Oregon
Sands and the San Andres Mountains to the west, I think White Sands is kind of a one-of-a-kind thing, for at least for North America. I don't know of other gypsum dune fields, but I think it's probably the largest gypsum dune field in the world.
You can see it from outer space, pictures from outer space.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing up there. All right, we got callers coming or going. We don't know about that. Take on another one here. You've done the Ice Age as much as you want. What about Waco Tanks? How is Waco Tanks geologically formed?
So Waco Tanks is kind of a good segue because, there's pictographs there and petroglyphs there, paintings from people that were in our region. And undoubtedly the Ice Age people hanging out in White Sands, undoubtedly they came down to Waco Tanks.
And there were buffalo around in the El Paso area at one point.
Yeah, I guess there were, yeah.
That's what I hear.
I don't know much about bison, but I think they were here also
bison.
After the Ice Age.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, it was Carmichael who was sat here and told us that they would run the bison through Waco Tanks and shunt them into a dead-end canyon. Put the rocks at the other end. And
I also heard
have
a story
lunch.
That they ran the bison off a cliff over there, but I that might have been somewhere else.
That's another location. I've heard about that one too. Yeah,
But there's a lot of archaeological stuff, of course, over at Waco Tanks, and that's another famous one of a kind site.
Oh.
But that's much much older than the Ice Age. So Waco Tanks formed kind of similar to Mount Cristo Rey, but it formed in The sedimentary rocks that the magma blob came into are much older. They're from the Paleozoic, from the Permian. So 300 million years old or 200 million years old. The magma blob that Waco Tanks is made of, it's a cooled magma blob. That's 34 to 38 million years old. The magma blob at Mount Cristo Rey is 47 million years old.
You're talking about something that came up from the core of the earth?
Yep.
The surface.
So during the Rocky Mountains, during the event that made the Rocky Mountains, our continent was getting crunched from the west. And when that stopped, the continent relaxed and all these magma blobs popped up through the cracks. Waco Tanks is one of them. All of our
city of rocks,
local volcanoes.
City of Rocks in New Mexico.
Same deal. All magma blobs that came up after the Rockies formed, for the most part. Yeah, almost all of our local volcanoes are that.
All right, the standard geology question, is this the beginning of the end of the Rockies, the Franklins?
That's not fair. So I found it. We've talked about this before,
yes.
So I ran it down. You know, because one of the things I study is the history of geology research in El Paso.
Yeah.
And I think it was Richardson in 04 or 1909 who was the one to say this, that El Paso was the southern tip of the Rockies. But geologically speaking, the Rockies is called the Cordillera and goes from the southern Andes Mountains all the way to Alaska.
So we can claim part of it?
So we're in the Rockies, but if you want to say we're the easternmost point of the Rockies, that doesn't even count because that's the Balcones Fault, which is quite far east of here, over by Austin, I think.
Oh.
So... yeah, you can't really, when you talk to a geologist, you can't really get away with saying the Franklins or anything significant in the Rockies, but we're part of the Rockies.
Yeah.
But we can also ask a geologist and stir them up like we just did.
Yeah, yeah.
No, we're going to take a break here. Come back with Eric Kappas one more time. And we're going to go to Pepe's. And Pepe's is good today. So if you really need to call us, otherwise, what are you doing on Facebook?
Well, I got Eric up on Facebook.
Where is he?
He's up there.
Famous.
Yeah,
well,
get him off the
he's
wall
infamous,
there.
Yes.
All right, fair enough. We'll be back in just a moment. Circuit, are you ready for this? 3, 2, 1, hit the button.
Looking to save on Medicare Part D? Switching to Walgreens may help you save on your Medicare Part D prescription. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Talk to the pharmacist to learn more.
The Sun City Craft Beer Fest, powered by iHeartMedia, is back.
March 30th and March 31st, downtown at the Convention Center Plaza.
Don't miss all the fun activities. Beer bingo, human foosball, cornhole, trash can pong.
Beer garden, cider garden, liquor lounge, and meet the brewers.
Plus a sports bar playing live sports games, a silent disco, live bands, and DJs. And did we mention beer?
Over 170 craft beers.
March 30th and March 31st. Buy your tickets now to gain access to all the activities at SunCityCraftBeerFest.com.
Cheers!
The West Side's newest luxury apartments are now leasing at Las Mansiones, 1776 Cimarron Trails, near North Wrestler Drive and Paseo del Norte, a mile from the new West Side Providence Hospital. Las Mansiones features three-story units with amazing views. To the east, the majestic Franklin Mountains, and to the west, El Paso's Upper Valley. You'll enjoy sunsets like you've never seen before from your own private balcony. Las Mansiones, 915-704-1776.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Need a walking or running partner? Need a security system? Need some entertainment? Need some love? A pet from the Humane Society of El Paso can be all those things, but you have to adopt one first. The Humane Society of El Paso, open for adoptions 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday and Sunday, 11 to 5. Come on over. Your new best friend is waiting at 4991 Fred Wilson. Be part of the solution with the Humane Society of El Paso.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
All right, we got a couple of minutes here left with Eric Kappas. Melissa, do you have something you desperately need to read? Because otherwise,
no,
let's desperately ask Eric.
Go over to the Facebook page and check out Eric's picture. We get him there with his finger on the nose of the, what is the?
The dinosaur.
Oh, that's a theropod track.
That's
a carnivore track.
We have a mural in the studio here that's pretty good size, 10 foot by 8 foot. One of the things on it is John Wesley Harden, and down by his hand about to bite him is a huge dinosaur, and so that's the thing you just said.
Yeah, dinosaurs were a part of El Paso history.
They didn't actually bite John Wesley Harden, though.
Probably not.
No, it looks like John Wesley Harden's petting him.
he might have had a pet cat and a pet dinosaur. You
there
never
you
know.
Go, yeah.
But what's the last thing we need to know today?
Okay. Well, so I wanted to make sure to pump Earth Month. So it's, you guys mentioned Celebration of Our Mountains earlier. Something else Jim Talbert is really spearheaded is Earth Month. So instead of just Earth Day events, we now have a whole bunch of Earth Month events.
Oh, cool.
There's a hike in McKelligan Canyon. Rob Rohrbaugh, a famous field trip leader locally, a real character, and an expert geologist. Rob Rohrbaugh has taken his favorite field trip to McKelligan Canyon, his favorite local.
This is all in April or what?
This is April 3rd, yeah.
Okay.
And then I have a field trip to Arroyo Park. I have a nature walk on the 13th. But you can Google Celebration of Our Mountains, and there's a website.
Also, celebrationofourhistory.org.
Yeah, yeah. It's all on Celebration of Our Mountains. I think he's got it all linked
up. Yeah,
you
can find it all.
But there's a tab for – there's a calendar, so you just click on the calendar and check out the events. But the other cool thing going on for Earth Month – is the El Paso Water Festival put on by El Paso Water Utilities.
What's that?
That's at the Tech H2O Center hold on, I've got the address.
That's the desal plant.
Yeah, yeah, 10751 Montana is just east of Cotton, maybe?
No.
Way
east of Cotton.
Way further east?
Yeah,
it's past the airport.
You're right.
Way past there. I hear that music. It sounds like the ice cream man is coming under your desk.
I thought I had – there we go. Okay, got the media turned off.
Okay.
But, the desal plant isn't – it's cool technologically, but also they have a great museum in there,
yes.
the Tech H2O Center.
Mm-hmm.
And they have an outdoor garden that's pretty cool with some local plants. But anyway, they have the El Paso Water Festival, I think, is on April 27th. But, again, Google this. Don't trust my dates or times or anything. But that's another great local event with all kinds of educational stuff and activities for the family.
And to get onto Cristo Rey and the area in front of it and do a dinosaur track hike, you call
Insights Museum, yeah. Or you can email, I think, info@insights.org.
Well, Google another one.
Google it, yeah.
Insights El Paso Science Museum.
Dino Tracks Tours.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to see the dinosaur tracks, Insights has... expertly trained guides. I know because I train them, and they have expertly trained guides out at the dinosaur.
Well,
tracks.
You are the original dinosaur track guide out there.
Yeah, I'm the original footprint geek.
Yeah, and you have the arrows in your back like any pioneer would for what you did in the early days.
Yes.
Well, you were persistent. I thought they were going to run you off out of El Paso and get rid of you.
But this is one of our best local assets as far as fossils go.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, it was easy. That made my job easy.
Well, fair enough. We got about a minute here left. Eric Kappas, let's go to Pepe's out there. And if anybody wants to talk rocks or whatever.
There was one question about how long it takes for fossils to form.
And the number is?
I'm going to go with Art Harris because it's a really hotly debated topic. But anything over 4,000 or 5,000 years... if it's buried, we typically call it a fossil, even if it hasn't been replaced, even if it's the original bone, like that mummified sloth we're talking about.
Huh.
That sloth was, 10 or 12,000 years old, I think. And
when they found it?
Still the original bone, the mummified bones. But there have been some weird cases, even with human skulls, where the groundwater caused it to fossilized in just a couple hundred years, thousand.
Really?
Eric, thanks for being here. Dr. Eric Kappas got his degree at UT El Paso, now works for the Southwest University.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Jackson.
Indeed. Thanks for coming in, everybody. We'll see you at Pepe's, whoever wants to get out there. Next week, we're going to talk more stuff with Mr. BS himself.
Yes.
Bernie Sargent will be in here, A to Z, and also James Wiley McGoffin.
Wiley.
We talk about Joseph, the mayor and the guy who had the house. What was his dad like?
Yeah, his dad was quite a character.
What a character. Oh, my. You have to be to get through El Paso.
Yeah, I found some other information on him, too. So.
And next week, we'll come back and do that. So, And thank you in the control room, Shelley and Seki. I appreciate that. See you all next week as well. And ephistory.com for details about the radio show. Thanks for joining us. Bye.
See you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.
Jerry Lee Lewis's fifth wife, dead. Sid Vicious and Kurt Cobain, also dead. Amy Winehouse, Johnny Cash, and more. Disgraceland is a rock and roll true crime podcast with stories about musicians getting away with murder and behaving very badly. It's available now. Hosted by me, Jake Brennan. You can listen to Disgraceland on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to all episodes of Disgraceland on the free iHeartRadio app.
NBC News Radio, I'm John Jeffries. A suspected white supremacist is charged with murder in the deadly terror attack at two mosques in New Zealand. Australian Brendan Tarrant did not enter a plea during a brief appearance in Christchurch District Court this morning. The 28-year-old is likely to face more charges when he returns to court on April 5th. 49 people were killed and dozens of others wounded in Friday's mass shootings. Police say Tarrant streamed one of the attacks on Facebook Live and also posted a link to a racist manifesto. NYPD will be beefing up their presence in and around mosques this weekend following the deadly mass shooting. James Flippin reports.
The New York City Police Department, often called the world's largest, its reach and influence nearly as large. Commissioner Jimmy O'Neill says as the horrific violence was unfolding in the southern hemisphere halfway around the globe, intel was coming in, giving them an idea how to respond.
We have a liaison over in Australia, so we did almost instantaneously get information back in real time. We were able to redeploy our people around as needed to make sure that everybody not only was safe, but they felt safe.
And so cops with long guns increased patrols, all aimed at assuring and standing strong alongside a hurting Muslim community. James Flippin, NBC News Radio, New York.
President Trump is defending his veto of a congressional resolution to block his national emergency border declaration.
Congress has the freedom to pass this resolution, and I have the duty to veto it.
Speaking at the White House yesterday, he insisted it's needed for the nation's legitimate immigration crisis. Trump called the resolution dangerous and reckless and spoke of an invasion of illegal immigrants. The Senate joined the House this week by passing a resolution of disapproval. A dozen Senate Republicans joined Democrats in approving the rejection. Trump praised the 41 Senate Republicans who stood by him. Selection Sunday will kick off March Madness. A field of 68 teams will be selected tomorrow.